fortune of misfortune. The ability for God to take nothing and to turn it into something. The ability that God has to take a mess and make it a miracle. Have you ever witnessed that in your life? Have you ever experienced the power of God in the midst of your circumstances? And I bet there's a lot that have. And you're probably here today in the midst of some circumstance that you're asking God to turn around. And what we're going to see in Philippians chapter 1 in the next section as we go through the scriptures is that Paul is in a place of misfortune. But typical Apostle Paul, he knows his God, and he knows his God is going to do great things. You see, Paul was arrested in Jerusalem and held in Caesarea for 2 years in jail until he appealed to Caesar in Rome. And then they transferred him from Caesarea to Rome into a prison for another 2 years. Talk about misfortune. Talk about a mighty man of God, gifted in the scriptures, gifted in teaching, gifted in the ways of the Lord, being held up and locked up, not able to minister. And from outward appearances, this is a wrong thing. This should never have happened, but not for the Apostle Paul. See, in those days, Paul was brought to that Roman prison, and he was actually put under house arrest. House arrest meant he was able to rent his own room. He was able to rent his own quarters, but for 24 hours a day, chained to a Roman guard. And in Rome, there were some 10,000 elite soldiers that were, their sole job was to protect the emperor of Rome. That was their job. So for 2 years, every 4 hours, 24 hours a day, the Apostle Paul was chained to a Roman guard. Can you imagine? 2 years? 4,380 different soldiers that you've been chained to over 2 years. What is it? Are you crazy? Can you imagine being chained to someone for that long? For 20 years of marriage? I'm sorry. I digress. For 2 years, the Apostle Paul was chained to Roman guards. And the Apostle Paul, it was an opportunity of a lifetime. To the Apostle Paul, it was like, I've got people dedicated to listen to me preach the gospel. Can you imagine what the guards must have been like? Oh, man, you got to be chained to that man. Get ready to accept Christ. Get ready to believe in Jesus. Because that's what Paul took, that opportunity. Paul took the misfortune and turned it into a fortune of faithfulness and use by God. And I think what the Apostle Paul has that we need to get is a proper perspective. See, in the situation that you may be in the situation that I'm in my life, there's an opportunity for us to get discouraged, to get down, to get upset, to get worried, or we can say, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I can't wait to see how the Lord's going to get me through this because God says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you. He will carry you through the storms of your life. So look at your situation with different eyes and realize you have an opportunity. The Apostle Paul realized that his pupil, if you will, was chained to him and couldn't go anywhere. He could say anything he wanted. And that was an opportunity of a lifetime for Paul. So the fortune of misfortune was for Paul to build on the fact from last week on how he was confident that the work that God began in you, he will be faithful to complete it. Paul was confident, remember last week that he said, I'm confident in you, Philippian church, that the work that God began in you when he saved you, he will continue to do that. And that's what he's building on today. He's going to show you how God is working through your life, even though you may be chained, even though you may be in a difficult circumstance, even though you may be in the midst of a storm where you see like, I don't see any hope in this. Trust in the fact that you're going to see hope. And we're going to look at two things and two things only that are going to be dealing with your current circumstances in your life and the impact that you will have. So look with me, Philippians chapter 1, we're picking up in verse 12. Let me breathe. Wow, I do that all in one breath. Verse 12, read with me, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Two things if you're taking notes. I'm going to give them to you up front because I've been told sometimes I don't tell you my points. So in a bit, we're going to look at, when it comes to the fortune of misfortune, sometimes you got to realize there's going to be evidence in your life to the world. There's going to be evidence in your life to the world. The second thing, that there's going to be confidence in your life to the church. Building confidence to the church. Building evidence to the world and building confidence to the church. You see it here in these scriptures. You see it in verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard that Paul's chains were in Christ. That's the evidence Paul saw of the work that God did in his life. But before we get there, verse 12 says, but I want you to know. Remember, I'm going to probably remind you this through all four chapters of Philippians, but this letter was written to the church of Philippi as a thank you to the church. Because this was, again, a faithful church, a church that was behind Paul, a church that loved Paul. So he's writing this letter to thank them. And he's writing them to say, I want you to know where I'm at. I want you to know the position and the condition that I'm in. From outward appearances, the church of Philippi could have been looking there going, poor Paul, can't believe he spent 2 years in Caesarea, can't believe now he's over in Rome, locked up again, can't evangelize, he has a heart for the Lord. You know, Paul's the one that said, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel, and oh, poor Paul, what are we going to do? They were probably concerned for him. He's writing this letter to say, I want you to know something, guys. I want you to know what's going on in my life. And this makes me realize that as Christians, we need to be involved in each other's lives to a deeper level. You know, not the, how are you doing? I'm doing okay. Not the, how's your day? It's good. It goes a little bit deeper. It's being transparent. It's being real. To be able to say, you know what? I'm having a bad week. You know what? I'm having a bad day. I'm struggling in this area of my life. And being open and honest with each other. Why? So that we can walk together through those difficult times. The Apostle Paul could have said, don't worry about me. I'm fine. And be done. But no. He says, I want you to know that God's working. I want you to know, church, that God's doing a work. And when I stand before you and share my life as an open book, it's because I want you to know that God's at work in my life. And I want to know that God's at work in your life. I want to know that you are increasing in faith in God. Not in anything else. Not in your job. Not in your school. Not in your parents, not in your children. I want your confidence to be in God. And only if we're involved in each other's lives to a deeper level will we know that that faith and that strength is there, and only will we glean from that. See, Paul's letter to the Philippians was going to encourage them just as much as he was encouraged by them. And so share those things with each other. It's important for us to do that. It's how you exercise your faith. When you say, I'm having a really tough week. I'm feeling really depressed. I'm overworked at the office. I can't seem to get anything done. I mean, I was just sitting having dinner the other night talking to somebody saying, man, I can remember the year, I don't know, 5 years ago when our church first kind of got started. Krista and I sitting in the office, we didn't really have a lot to do. I wish I was back there sometimes. There's a lot more to do now. And you get overwhelmed and you get so stressed out for all the things you got to do, all the responsibilities. Got to study, got to answer, got to counsel, got to do all these things. God, help me. And if I hold that in, if I keep that to myself, then there's not a bunch of believers around me that can say, I'll take that from you. I'll help you in that area. Whereas if you share with me some things that are going on in your life, not only will I pray for you, for the power of God to work with you, but I might also say, I know somebody that can help you. Or I could come along and help you. So here's an opportunity for us to get to know each other and to help each other through those times of testing. through those times of stretching. God likes to stretch us, doesn't he? Thinks we're rubber bands, I think, sometimes. It's a little too much, God, please don't let me go. Okay, good. So get involved in someone else's life. Sit down and talk. Let's not have the surface conversations. Let's go a little bit deeper. Let's not be afraid to show our weaknesses. Paul never was afraid to show his weaknesses. Paul was the one that said, you know, sometimes I do the things I don't want to do. Sometimes I don't do the things I should be doing. Sometimes I don't act like a Christian when I should. Sometimes I act dumb. Paul was not ashamed to say that. Why? Because everybody can go, yeah, us too. We're not superhumans. We're humans. Saved by the grace of God. Saved by the power of Christ. A work in progress. I always love that. Christian under construction. We're constantly growing closer to the Lord, I hope. Hopefully getting closer and getting stronger in God. Why? Why does God want you to be strong? So you can help a weaker fellow Christian. That's why he wants you to be strong. So we need to exercise. Don't be fake. Be real. Be real. If I say, how are you today? And you go, good, and you're not. That's a lie. That's a lie. So if I, how you do? I'm not doing good. Let's take some time. Let's talk. Let's get to the bottom of it. Let's see why the enemy's trying to trip you up and slow you down. Let's get him off your back. Trust me, it's a lot better, isn't it? Paul was willing to be an open book. And the fact he was being willing to be open book is because he was excited to share what was going on. Look at the rest of verse 12. He says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. The things that happened to Paul were his being chained, his being thrown in jail, him being put into a position where he thinks everybody or this church may have thought, oh, poor Paul. Remember, Paul was an evangelist. And let me say this. Paul was an evangelist no matter where he was. Paul was an evangelist in prison. Paul was an evangelist in jail. Paul was an evangelist when he was out walking the streets of Rome. He was an evangelist at all times. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian at all times? Do you believe in Jesus all the time? Or is it only during Sunday morning service that you're going to put on the Christian faith, that you're going to put on the Christian strength? Are you that Christian in your workplace or in your school or in your neighborhood? The one that people will come to say, I know that person will pray for me. I know that person's going to be strong. So no matter where you're at, the position that you're in, the situation that you may find yourself in, are you confident, like Paul was here, that things are going to work out for the furtherance of the gospel? Things are going to work out for the furtherance of your faith that's being exercised. See, I think every one of us sometimes, at one point or another, have been felt like we're in the wrong place, right? Like, how did I get here? Maybe you're in the wrong house, or you're in the wrong job, or you're in the wrong relationship, or I found myself in the wrong church. Well, not today, of course. But sometimes you find yourself in the wrong church. Ever felt like you're in the wrong place? Why, God, am I here? Those places, I mean, I've had jobs where I say, oh, God, get me out of here. I don't need to be here. I don't need to belong here. And we all feel like we've been in the wrong place. But Paul was able to say, the things that are happening to me are actually going to work out or turn out for good. That word turn out, guess what? It takes time. It took years for this to happen in Paul's life before he realized that it turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm sure Paul's human. I'm sure when he first got arrested, he was thinking, man, how am I going to minister to the church of Ephesus? How am I going to go encourage the brethren if I'm locked up? I'm sure for a season in Paul's life, he was like, how are you going to do this, God? But only through little bits of God showing him strength and showing him opportunities right in front of his face did he come to the point and say, this actually worked out better. We're getting heathens saved. Paul had a dual-purpose job. One was to encourage the Christians, but it was also to share faith with non-believers. And that's a job that we all have to do. You might be an encourager in the things of God, and that's so good when it comes to other believers, but you also have to have the ability to share that with those who don't know Christ, who don't know the saving knowledge of Jesus. It turned out. See, Paul could have quit. Paul could have gave up. He could have sat there and just said, well, that's it. I guess my career's over. Yeah. Evangelists can't do evangelism in jail. But he didn't. He didn't quit. And there's certainly people in here that are ready to quit. There's a people in here that are ready to just give up, to throw in the towel. But there's a scripture in the Bible that says what the enemy planned for evil, God turned out for good. See, the enemy wants to destroy you. The enemy, I'm sure, was like, I'll get Paul. I'll throw him in jail. Lock him up. He had a very effective prison ministry. Wherever he's at, he ministered. Let God take that time to turn your situation around. You don't know how long it's going to take. I'm the same way. I want instant gratification. I want instant deliverance. I want things to be happening. I want to know God's involved. I want to know God's working right now. But sometimes God takes a little bit more time. So you know what? I want to make sure you're going to be faithful even in the times of stillness. I want to make sure that you're going to be faithful even those times when it doesn't seem like I'm doing anything, but I'm putting things in place for you. So that down the road, you're going to realize, man, this turned out better than I ever thought. Because God's in control, not us. Chains, look at this. Chains cannot hold back the work of God. And you might feel chained today. You might feel like you're in a place where you're being ineffective, unresponsible, or unproductive. But those chains cannot stop the power of God. These chains, this what the enemy wanted for bad in Paul's life, God turned it right around. And God made it glorious. God made something out of nothing. He didn't make it a hindrance. He made it a furtherance of the gospel. And I want to know, who here today needs things to turn around in their life? Who in here needs some things to turn around in their life today? Don't give up. Don't quit. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, I won't quit. I'm waiting. Some of you are like, well, nobody's sitting there. Well, turn around. Don't quit, Christian. Don't quit. Don't give up, because you're not giving up on man, you're giving up on God. You're giving up on God's ability to do a miracle in your life. Do you know that God does miracles? He loves to do miracles. He loves to wow us. That miracle is coming. And I'm no prophet. I ain't no prophet. But there's a miracle God wants to do in your life. He just wants to make sure your hope is in him and not the miracle. If God kept doing miracles in our lives, we'd be wanting more miracles. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to wait on him and trust him. What's happening in your life these days may seem difficult and at times impossible, but not for God. Don't ever doubt God can do it. Don't ever doubt that. Turn things around. Romans 8:28, very popular scriptures, and we know that all things work together for those who love God and those who are called according to his purposes. How many things does Paul say? All things. Because I know there's someone in here going, you don't understand, Pastor Rob. I'm 26 years old, and for 26 years, nothing's ever turned out for me. The Bible says all things. And yes, it's been a long time. Things haven't turned out for you, but God will produce fruit. It will turn around if you trust in him. As long as you love God and concerned about his purposes, he'll turn it around. Now, let's also say this. It may not work out the way you want it to work out. Hello? It may not work out the way you want it to work out. And I'm sure for Paul, it didn't work out the way he wanted it to work out, because there's probably a few of those guards. He's like, God, you need to get this one. But the grace of God saved them. So we also need to be open to God's heart and God's plan and God's ways, even if it turns out differently. We need to be patient. Look at verse 13. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest, whoever they are, that my chains are in Christ. It has become evident. Substantial evidence in our courts of law, right? You're innocent until proven guilty with substantial evidence, right? Isn't that true? I love that ringer. Good one. Substantial evidence. There was substantial evidence in the life of the Apostle Paul that the entire palace guard and all the rest, whoever they are, believed that Paul's chains were in Christ. See, I believe there were even guards that would hear people, oh yeah, Paul, he's locked up, man. He's an evil man. I bet there was a guard that was chained to Paul earlier that said, oh no, he's not. He's chained up to Jesus Christ. You can't be around that guy without him within 30 seconds not talking about Jesus. He's not chained to the palace guards. He's not chained to Rome. He's chained to Jesus, no matter what. And isn't that a good thing to be chained to? Isn't that a good thing to be attached to, is Jesus Christ? Doesn't it change the perspective of your situation? Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm chained to you. I have a heart for you. I'm concerned about your plans and your purposes. So no matter where you take me, no matter what happens to me, I know you're here with me because I'm chained to you. Substantial evidence. Is there substantial evidence in your life that you're even a Christian? Yikes. If I talked to one of your coworkers and said, do you think they believe in Jesus? Would they say, oh, absolutely. Or would they say, well, they carry a Bible, but I've never seen them open it. I've never seen them pray. They seem really discouraged when the boss asks them to stay after 5. They don't really act like Christian, but so there's not substantial evidence. There's not a life of faith that's there. There's not a life of and a heart for others there. See, I think that's what we need in the church today is substantial evidence that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing for Christ, for Jesus, not for ourselves, but for the Lord. Paul was consistent in his character. Over the years, the guards witnessed Paul's consistent and confidence in Christ. I can just see it like this. After one of the guards shifts, he goes home, he starts talking, he's sitting down at dinner, talking to his wife and kids, going, man, I have never been chained to a man like this in the years that I've worked for this company. This guy talked about Jesus. He talked about this church in Philippi. He talked about how faithful they were. And that's what I think all the rest are. I think all the rest are the people that these guards went and talked to. Because again, Paul's locked up in his home. He can't go out there. And it says the entire palace guard. In fact, if you flip over a few chapters to chapter 4, the last 3 verses in this book give us evidence that Paul had an amazing impact upon this area, this Roman guard. Verse 21, read with me. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Well, do you think Caesar invited Paul over, a prisoner, for dinner? And he shared Christ? I think Paul's effect in ministry, ministering to these guards, infiltrated this whole place. Affected this whole place. Do you see the power of the Spirit of God and the message of Christ to impact communities? To impact homes? My friends, this is something I would love to see happen in our day. That you're so excited about Jesus that you can't help but share it with your coworkers, the rest of your family, all your friends. Why? You want them to know Christ. You want them to have a deeper relationship with the Creator. A right relationship with God. And one that's joyful. Where you can stand behind a pulpit and talk about wiping butts. That's not supposed to happen in church. And I'll talk to her later about it. But are you that excited about your Christian faith? Are you that excited about your Lord because you love him so much you can't help but share it? I was sitting with another pastor the other day, and he was asking the Lord a few questions, and he was asking the Lord, you know, do people share what they value? And no, you don't. Like, you probably value your bank, but you're not going around telling people, you need to move your money over to my bank. But you share the things that you enjoy. Ever been to a good movie? You can't help but tell everybody you know. Ever been to a restaurant where they had a really good chocolate fudge dessert? Yeah, you got to tell me, but you got to tell others too. You tell and you share the things that you enjoy. Not the things you value. So do you enjoy being a Christian? Do you enjoy being a follower of Jesus Christ? Do you enjoy reading the Scripture so much so that you read it and you go, wow, I got to go tell somebody. It's that much that you enjoy the riches of the Scriptures. Now, the Bible doesn't say necessarily that you have to be overly zealous about your faith, but the Bible wants you to share. Jesus wants you to share the good news of him. So it shouldn't really be a private thing. It should be an open thing. Something that people can look at and go, oh, they love God. Jesus even said, they'll know that you belong to me by your love for each other. How much you care for each other. How much you minister to each other. So if we truly have a heart for others, when we talk about this Baja Mexico trip, the whole church should get excited about it. Not that we're all going to go, but that we're going to rally around it and say, hey, man, we're going to bless somebody in the name of Jesus. Because I'll guarantee you, this church, if we're going to build a house, we're going to make sure the owners know it's from Jesus, not from us. Oh, there might be a body of believers back in Brentwood, Tennessee that love you and have been a part of this here, but this is from Jesus Christ because of what he's done in our lives. That's the joy of it. That's the evidence that was involved in our lives. And Paul's life evidenced his faith that he was chained to Christ, not to a guard. He wasn't bummed out. He saw it as an opportunity. And today you got to see your opportunities. You got to see where God wants to work in your life. Philippians verse 14, this is where we see the confidence that can be brought to the church. Verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Listen, the fortune of misfortune means that if you're in a difficult situation, but you have hope in God, that there's going to be people around you that are going to witness that. They're going to catch that. When we hear that someone goes through a difficult situation and we see God carry them through with great strength and confidence and boldness, we get excited. We're witnessing that. We're watching that. So there's that confidence in every believer that will pour over into other believers. That Paul's change, Paul's witness, word probably got around in Rome that, man, you got to get chained to this guy. He'll save you. He knows the guy that can save you. He knows the guys that you can be forgiven of all your sins. He knows who this is. You need to get chained to him. And the word got out. So much so that other believers found out that Paul was locked up. And they're like, you know what? If Paul can do it, we can do it. If Paul is locked up, we need to step up. In fact, Paul's locked up. We need to make sure we go visit some of the churches that he's been in so that we can minister. Sometimes I believe God will take that one person that's doing all kinds of activities in the church and kind of set them aside so others can get activated. I learned early in ministry that if I'm doing everything, I'm robbing you all from a blessing. If you're doing everything, you're robbing somebody else from a blessing. Sometimes I think God will set us aside so somebody else can be blessed. Set us aside. I mean, it's great to see other guys doing the announcements. Let you guys throw stones at him, them, not me. But you see, that's the way God works. It's like, I'm going to step aside. Let someone else step up. Let someone else be stretched. Let somebody else be encouraged to serve the Lord in that capacity. So it's good to serve the God. It's good to use your gifts and talents, but don't take ownership of it. Don't claim it and hold on to it. This is mine. This is what I do. Share it. Share the blessings so that others can experience the work of the Lord. It's such a beautiful thing. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Paul was able to sharpen some of the other believers in his chains. God used it and used that ability, and that's something that we all need to understand. Look at verse 15. Some, Paul says, indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. Now, some of your Bibles, if you don't have the New King James, verses 16 and 17 are reversed. So don't think I'm not reading my own Bible correctly. That's why I say that. He goes on, it says, the former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. So there was a group of believers that were like, oh, good, Paul's all locked up. Now I can make a name for myself. Now I can be the more requested speaker at all the churches. Selfish ambition. Selfish. Oh, good. Paul's locked up. Good. I'm going to start taking his little tour. I'm going to go from church to church. I'm going to make sure I get paid. Selfish ambitions, not the right intent. But Paul says in verse 18, nonetheless, Christ was preached. Even though Christ was preached, even though there's a wrong motivation, even though there's a wrong heart behind it, Christ was preached. So the effect, the end, was the same result. Even though we can do it with wrong intentions. And so it's such a warning for us as followers of Christ to make sure our motives and our intents are right. The attention is not upon us, it's upon the Lord, trusting in God. Selfish ambitions? Should that happen in the church? Should that happen in the body of Christ? Should not Jesus get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise? Who are we? Who are we? And it was a co-worker. They were co-laboring together. If you've ever exercised or walked, isn't it always easier exercising and walking with someone else? You know, it's that competitive nature that's built into us. You know, if somebody's going to curl 35 pounds, well, I'm going to curl 40. You know, or if I'm going to go for a walk, it's always easier when someone else is there walking with me. It's like the time goes by a lot faster. When you're by yourself, it's like, I think I'll take the shortcut. You know, you don't do it as motivated. You're not as motivated when you're by yourself. I still don't understand why women go to the bathroom together. That one I won't get. You can do it. Come on. Okay. But isn't it better sharing? Sharing things with each other? Sharing ministry with each other? Sharing life with each other? Doing this thing together? We should be a team. There should not be churches all over that are competing with the bigger, what do they call those? Steeples. Bigger buildings. Bigger this. Bigger Christmas thing. Bigger. No. That should not be the. Now, as long as Christ is being preached, cool. Paul's like, good, as long as it's being preached. But the motivation behind it is wrong. But also he says, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Others looked at Paul's situation and said, Paul's not able to do what I know he wants to do. So we're going to step in the place for him and do what he would normally do. We're going to go and we're going to love on people and let them know Paul's in jail, but he just wants you to know he loves you. Paul can't be here today, but we're here to let you know, trust in the Lord. So they stepped in to help Paul and to assist Paul from the motivation of what? Love. Is there any greater motivation in all the world than to be motivated by love? Was not Jesus Christ motivated by love to die on a cross for you? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, so that you might be saved. He hung on that cross because he loved you. He hung on that cross because he loved you with all of his heart, all of his mind, all of his strength, and even with his own life. That's the greatest love anyone can display. So if we're going to show each other love, we're going to walk together with the proper motivations, with the proper encouragement to know that it's not about making a lot of money, it's not about making ourselves famous, it's about winning people to Christ, increasing the kingdom of God, not the church of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Paul said to the churches in Galatia, what you've begun in the spirit, will you make perfect now in the flesh? What we've begun as a church on our knees praying for God to do a work, are we now going to just say we don't need you, God, anymore? We've got this. We've figured it out. No. We need to stay on our knees. Each and every year, each and every season, each and every experience that God takes us through, God, we're on our knees to trust you. We know that if there's difficult seasons in our lives, that you can turn them around. We're going to trust you in that. But help us be bold. And that's what I love about this here as well, that Paul says that the believers became more bold in their faith. Don't you think it's a lot easier to let somebody else do it than you do it? Well, somebody else is doing it. I don't need to bother. I don't need to serve. I don't need to do it. There's somebody that's doing it. Instead of being bold in your faith, bold in your confidence, we all need to be encouraged that at those times when we meet somebody new, that we take that step of faith and they say, do you know Jesus Christ? Are you a believer? That cross you're wearing around your neck, does it have meaning to you? To really reach out and step out and challenge people in the ways of God. You know, we live in an area where it seems like almost everybody believes, but nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to take the time to talk about God. We just want to appear as though we're godly. We go to church, we dress up real nice, we do our Sunday thing, we do our Wednesday night thing, that's good. But throughout the week, no, we don't do anything else. Guys, be bold. Be bold in your faith. Look to Paul as someone that kept the faith, even in difficult situations. Look to other people in this fellowship that have gone through difficult seasons in their life and see how much stronger they are now. And let that stir a boldness in your life. And to say, you know what, I'm going to believe in God a little bit more. I'm going to trust in the Lord just a little bit more. See, there were two camps here. One that looked at Paul's position as an opportunity to get ahead. And the other camp looked at Paul's position and said, we need to step up. We need to get engaged. We need to begin to work. Look, God can get his message out of salvation any way he wants to. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He's God. He can reveal himself to anyone at any moment in his life. But guess what? He wants to use you. He wants you to be involved so that you can experience God in a powerful way to increase your faith. To say, believe in Jesus, trust in Jesus. And then to see someone do that, to see someone come into your office or into your living room and sit down with them and pray with them and hear their circumstances and share scriptures with them and then leave encouraged and strengthened, that is such a joy. To see that a broken person came in and a strengthened person went out. That's the power of God. And if you are one of these people that are broken right now, but you're afraid to share with anybody, the enemy is beating you up as long as you keep it to yourself. And I'm not saying blabber your stuff all over, but find someone who has a heart for the scriptures and for God and sit down with them and talk with them. Verse 18, so where we close. Why do I say that? What then, verse 18? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. I love Paul's perspective here. In my flesh, I'm like, those ones that have the wrong intent, man, God, get them. They're stealing your glory. But Paul looks at the outcome. The outcome is whenever Christ is preached, people are going to get saved, people are going to get encouraged. And so he says, you know what, I'm going to rejoice in that. Let God deal with them. Let God deal with the intents of our hearts. So don't hold back, Christian. Step out in faith. God will lead you along the path. God will instruct you. He'll teach you, he'll correct you, he'll keep you where he wants you. But you got to step out in faith and begin to walk. Paul said, Christ is preached. That's all I care about. That's all Paul cared about. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. He didn't care who preached it, as long as the message was getting out, as long as the message was being heard, and as long as the Spirit of God could change every heart. That's the power of God. Turn with me now to our one stop, Mark 9. Mark 9. Mark 9 and verse 38. Now John answered him saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. And Jesus said, Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterward speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. Jesus said it. Paul confirmed it. As long as the right message is getting out, doesn't matter. As long as the message of Christ is getting out, that's what is really the concern here. And we as a church need to fight that competitive nature inside of us and look to others that spread the good news as co-laborers in Christ. And that's my prayer for this community. There's bazillions of churches around here. My prayer is that every single pastor in those churches is on fire for Christ and is concerned about getting the Word of God into the people of God so that they can change the world. That's my prayer for them. And if they're not, that God would show them, that God would reveal. I'm not saying wipe them out. I'm saying God, convict their hearts. I want my heart to be convicted to make sure I'm walking right. Listen, the fortune of misfortune, in a nutshell, in one word, it's perspective. Perspective. Look at the situation you're in and have the right perspective. Don't look at your situation. Look at God. When Peter walked on water, his eyes were on Christ. When he began to look around, he began to sink. Keep your eyes on Christ. You'll have the proper perspective, and God will use you. This week, instead of being bummed out and disappointed at where you're at, I want you to, every situation, everything that's going to be difficult, everything you begin to say, I want to quit, I want to give up, or how is God going to, I want you to believe in God and say, God, I'm going to take the right perspective, and I'm going to realize that through this, you're going to use me. I'm chained to you. Use me, God.